Good morning.
Good morning.
Say they in stereo. Don't mind who answers this. Strange times for amateur societies. Some are thriving, some are finding things more difficult. And I'm not talking just about with drama, but with all sorts of varying different types of organisation. How are you guys finding it?
I'll leave that one to Chris.
Well, we're actually, I think we're sort of flying in the face of adversity, actually, and finding we're actually being quite successful. We took the unusual decision, must be some sort of 18 months ago, as we came out of 2 years ago, and we came out of the whole lockdown thing with COVID. We launched the Fringe, where we started doing stuff outdoors before we were allowed to get back to doing our usual calendar of things indoors at the Barn Theatre. But we supplemented that by taking the approach of sort of throwing the doors open to it to everybody and making our membership completely free, which had the benefit of overnight removing the admin burden of managing membership and having to take payment every year. But also what it did is it's sort of created a mailing list which is sort of beyond somewhere between 300 and 400 and now.
Wow.
And not necessarily obviously not everybody's an active member as in a performer, but what it means is we've got that sort of audience that our newsletter and updates go out to. So we've found that we've now got I think last year I reported at the AGM for the first time we had a production across the entire society. So if you take the Oxted Players, the Young Oxted Players and the Fringe, which are sort of the three strands of the society, last year we had a production either performing or in rehearsal every single calendar month of the year.
Wow, that's pretty impressive stuff. And the odd thing with that is when you mentioned sort of you scrap the subscription fee, lots and lots of organisations searching for extra money going exactly the opposite direction.
Yes.
It's strange the way these kind of things work, and it is lovely to see such success. It's almost like you've got your own support group behind you now.
And we wanted to do something different, and we can't sort of during lockdown we were sort of thinking how do we come out of this, how do we ensure the longevity of the society, and we suddenly started thinking about it as if we were launching it from scratch, and we thought actually if you were going to start a society from scratch, you wouldn't start charging people, you wouldn't put barriers in place, you'd throw the doors open and make it as open and approachable to as many people as possible. And that's kind of the approach we've taken, and we've really sort of reaped the benefits of that.
And I think it's an approach we're taking throughout the society. Everything we do and everything, and as Chris said, everything we do, whether it's the membership, whether it's engaging people, it's the Fringe, getting more people to try and come and see the theatre. We recognise these are hard times, and we literally threw out the old rule book and started again for everything.
It's just an incredible success story, which is so wonderful to hear. And I know I've been to a couple of your productions, and they've always been, something that you'd be proud to go and see in the West End. That's how good they are. And it's nice that you have this sort of positive approach to doing things and ending up with producing stuff every single month. Not necessarily as main productions, but as a society, clearly active, and well, so much so that we can get to a production called Humble Boy, which is, of course, your next mainstream production coming out on the 17th of October. Chris, I do believe you're directing this.
I am indeed, yes. It is a fantastic little play. It aired, made its debut, I think, in the National Theatre. I think it was back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's described as a bittersweet comedy by Charlotte Jones. Now, I'm no expert on anything to do with theatre or plays and that, but this is not something I've heard of. How do you guys go about finding something like this, which is, in general terms, a little more obscure?
Yeah, so we came across the play. A friend of ours and fellow committee member was doing it. I think it was about 10, must have been about 10, 12 years ago. So I went to see him in it at the Bob Hope Theatre. And I loved it. I thought it was an amazing, amazing piece, brilliantly written. Have you sort of laughing crying with laughter 1 minute and then sort of a tear in the eye with emotion the next. Mm. It is just brilliantly, brilliantly written, even to the point where in rehearsals at the moment I'm picking up the actors on the slightest deviation from the script, because it is that brilliantly written that I don't want any paraphrasing and I don't want to take anything away from the way that Charlotte's written it.
That's a tough job, that, isn't it?
It is, but I am equally blessed with six very good performers who are doing their absolute damnedest to be absolutely word perfect. But the pace, the emotion, it's got pathos, it's got highs, it's got lows, and the real big selling point and the very exciting thing is we're doing something completely different on stage. A good friend of mine, Scott Taylor, who has just opened his garden design studio in Oxted. Mm. For any of your listeners that watch ITV's Love Your Garden, he's the landscape designer, or one of the landscape designers on that, working with Alan Titchmarsh. Yeah. He's done the design for us, and we are building his design, because the whole thing's set in a country.
Set in a garden, isn't it?
It is, and Scott's done worked his magic and done a proper landscape design, which we're now recreating and building on the barn stage.
Do they offer their services for free as part of the society, or do you actually have to pay for that design?
So Scott is doing it as a favour for both the society and for myself, and. We are leveraging some of his professional relationships in terms of getting the artificial lawn, some of the trees that we're putting in. It's a mixture of real life foliage as well as artificial. Unfortunately, the story that revolves so heavily around this rose bush and the beehive. Unfortunately, roses aren't in season at the moment, because originally we wanted to do the whole thing with live foliage, but we've realised that that's just not possible in October. But yeah, he's helping with all the sourcing. We are doing something ultra modern in terms of the cyclorama at the back of the stage, whereas historically we would use back cloths, painted cloths. We are actually using a projection this time. Which is an absolute game changer for our sets as well. So
I'm going to say I'm looking at this and it reads quite interestingly about. It's a very straightforward, simple tale, really. Sort of intertwined in all of this. It's a guy who's gone home to his somewhere around near his demanding mother amid what's described as his own chaotic home life. There's the opportunity there for all sorts of. Interesting things is quite remarkable, isn't it?
It is, and there are six characters in it, and all of them are hugely different, and they all clash and collide throughout the play as each of the characters interweave and their story becomes apparent. It's as I say, it's fantastically well written.
This is the wondrous thing about these kind of societies, is that you know, and you sort of pick up on these kinds of stories, and it's kind of where these stories begin to get sort of rather larger and much more into the view of the wider public, and then they really do explode onto something big. Who actually found this? Was it you?
Yeah, as I say, I saw a friend of ours do it sort of 10, 12 years ago, and I wanted to direct it and present it at the barn stage. It's one of those. Every now and then, you come across a play that you think is going to be absolutely perfect for the barn stage as a box set, and this was one of those, and it's been on my wish list to produce and direct for a good number of years.
Seems like you've got your wish. 17th to the 21st of October for this one, 7:30 in the evening at the Barn Theatre in Oxted, with a matinee on the Saturday at 2:30. Tickets can be got, of course, for this, can't they, from the Oxted Players website. It's oxtedplayers.co.uk is where the website is to be found, and full details of how you can get your tickets are there. Ticket sales going okay?
Yeah, they're picking up. It's been it's always a bit of a slow uptake as we come out of the summer holidays and get sort of back to school out the way. Yeah. But yeah, I really do. I know this is unknown, but I really do urge people for for the princely sum of £13 to take a punt, you will not be disappointed. You will leave on an absolute high, and you'll also be witnessing something very special at the Barton Theatre, which hasn't been done before.
Absolute bargain, as I said. I've seen a couple of your productions, and they're worthy of anything that is going on the West End stage. So I know how hard you guys work at it. Good luck with that.
And thank
of course,
you.
Further down the road comes Christmas, and with Christmas, of course, comes Panto. Now, talking with Phil Fry before we started this little conversation, he said to me, I'm fed up with doing it. I'm not going to do the acting anymore. I'm much more into the production. He said, struggle learning the lines. How do lines go, Phil, for pantomime?
Well, fortunately, I don't even have to do those. But Panto's easy because obviously it's a song and dance fest as well. So, you know, people getting involved in that, it's not, you don't have massive speeches the way you would do in one of the plays. It's all a great cacophony of, you know, song, dance and acting, and of course massive comedy as well.
Of course, what we're talking about here is the traditional stuff. It's Aladdin, written by Clive McTavish.
Yeah, indeed, and like last year, so Clive is one of our members, and I think that's the other thing that.
So it's an adaptation, basically, story of Aladdin with some grown-up and kids jokes in it.
Absolutely, I mean, he's written this from scratch. It's, you know, and I said, I think the thing we're proudest of when we talk about society regenerating itself is that this is the second year that it's a panto that has been written by one of our members. And it's fantastic to see that we've got that writing talent as well as the acting talent in the society. So, yeah, we're really proud of it.
Yeah. So it's Aladdin this year.
Yes.
Who decided that this was the one to do?
It's always a committee discussion. We go on year on year. Obviously, we look at, you know, you look at the history of what's been done before, and you know, you don't want to do the same one, you know, every couple of years. So,
yeah.
I've sort of got a chart showing. I think Aladdin was done at least 10, 12 years ago. So
yeah, we've got a cycle of about rough give or take 10 pantos that we do over a sort of 10 to 12 year cycle. So
yeah, I mean, pantos for children of all ages, isn't it? Really?
Oh, absolutely.
You and me included. I love panto. And do you find, though, with the political environment the way it is, you have to rewrite them with very much a different stance to the way it used to be?
So the pro pantos are very much going down that route. My stance, as with my chairman's hat on, is we are sticking with the traditional approach as long as we can do.
You're not afraid of being cancelled then for saying the wrong thing?
No, not at all. I'm a huge believer in not being forced down that route, and as long as we can forge our own trail and we're not losing support and not getting any real sort of harmful complaints, I think we should carry on.
But isn't that the whole joy of panto, that it is gloriously politically incorrect?
It's a wonderful art.
Absolutely. And we are actually seeing year on year, we're seeing an increase of creep in terms of people coming to us rather than going to places like Epsom and Red Hill for the pro pantos, because we're not going woke, and we're not going down that route. So there is definitely an audience for and an argument for not going down there.
But it's the joy of it as well, Tony. Right? I mean, you know, panto is unique, and it's, you know, it's uniquely beautifully British, and you know, it's been in our DNA and our history. Why change something? There's no need to change it. It is not offensive. It was never set out to be offensive in any shape or form. It's a lovely piece, and in fact, it is, you know, actually, it talk, you know, it's men dressed as women, women dressed as men. It's wonderful. it's actually all inclusive. And that's what's incredible.
I mean, I've got to say, I love panto in all its forms, and I find it a little strange that there are people out there who want to change what can only be described as a winning formula.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's on, of course, your panto this year, Aladdin, 12th to the 20th of January. I understand that tickets went on sale yesterday.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. And same sort of pricing as for all of the rest of your productions.
Absolutely.
But for £13, you can go and have some fun with all of the family and be as wild as you want to be, I think, with Panto. Yep. Listen, guys, it's been wonderful to catch up with you both this morning, and it's lovely to see that the Oxford players are still doing really, really well. Looking forward to a couple of things you've got coming up. Next May, you've got September Tide, which is a Daphne du Maurier what would you call it? Production, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And October, hopefully, something to do. Well, it's got to be in the name here. It's called Clue. Yeah.
Hopefully, we are hoping it will be Clue. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed for those, and say good luck with the production that takes place of Humble Boy, 17th to the 21st of October, and say. Good luck also with the Panto Aladdin. For now, Phil Fry and Chris Bassett, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.